Fixin.
Welcome back to What the F-Stop. I'm Jamal, and thank you for tuning in to the first episode. I had an amazing response to it. Today on episode 2, we'll be talking to Tolu from Belfast. He's an exciting photographer and videographer. We had a great chat about expiry dates and photos, film stock, and other things. So enough talking, let's jump right in. Right, so I've got an amazing guest here, all the way from Belfast. I'm going to let him introduce himself.
My name's Tolu. I'm a photographer and videographer, I guess. I don't really know what else. I don't know what other labels there are.
Was it creative? Do you use that term? Yeah.
Okay,
nice,
yeah.
That's nice. So, yeah, I want to start with the first question about how did you start your career in photography?
Okay, photography, I'd say initially I'd done videography, and then with photography it kind of happened. Me and a friend kind of just impulsively got a studio. This was around March 2020, so around the start of lockdown for in the UK anyway. So literally 2 weeks after we got a studio, went into lockdown. So I really couldn't do much video work in terms of using a studio. So, and my friend was predominantly he's just a photographer. So eventually I kind of just thought, well, I might as well just use the space for what it is, for what it's for, and just delved into photography and took that more seriously, and then set up the separate Instagram page, I think around June. So it's been about a year now. Yeah. So about a year, I just done photography as much as I could. And because of the whole lockdown situation, I found that executing photo shoots was a lot easier than, you know, video productions. You know, there's less people. It's easier to, you know, adhere to the restrictions like social distancing and wearing a mask and all that type of stuff. So yeah, that's how I kind of started. And I just tried to be consistent with it. I'd say like, I was posting very, very frequently, at least like once every 2-3 days. Most of those posts are probably gone now because I've archived. I probably have like 100 posts archived just because, I don't know, I don't really love a lot of the things I create soon after. You know, push them in a sense.
Were they short-lived?
A lot of things are short-lived. I think that's the case with a lot of people though. Like after you publish or display a piece of work, I don't know, it's like, but then again, everything is like, I think we live in a society where attention spans are just kind of getting lower and lower, so I think that kind of applies to art as well.
Yeah, for sure, because like I know with Instagram, you're seeing new pictures every day, so you see one great picture one day and then like the next day is gone, like you won't even think of it again.
That's why I'm not posting as consistently anymore, because at first I feel like the motivation was to grow my photography presence in a sense and get maybe clients off the back of that, or just get more, maybe notoriety or just more exposure out of it. But now I've kind of slowed down. I don't really post that regularly in terms of photography, and I kind of just slow down and just take my time and try to add more meaning or story to my photo shoots and, you know, what I'm trying to create. Because then it's not as forgettable, or I'll like it for longer in a sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. I know, I think my favourite one of yours is the one with the braids hanging in the air. I was like, what? I've never seen that before. And I was that was crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, would you say it was difficult, transitioning from videography to photography?
Initially, yes. I don't know why, because obviously they're the same settings. You know, video settings, it's, you know, f-stop, iris, all that type of stuff, ISO.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what specifically I struggled with, but I remember struggling and having to get advice off of, friends that are photographers, and I had to learn more about composition as opposed to just relying on rule of thirds or something, or symmetry, you know, straight down the middle type stuff. So yeah, it took me a minute, but once I kind of got the ball rolling and I was shooting more consistently, you know how they say practice makes perfect, I was just able to just keep learning. And to an extent now I don't really focus much on composition in a sense. It just depends what I'm trying to convey, because sometimes depending on the image you're trying to create or what you're trying to convey, certain things don't matter, or certain things could take away from the objective. So fundamentals like composition, maybe even, okay, well, not lighting. Lighting's very important, but
yeah,
there's just some things I don't worry about to an extent now.
So you're more trying to tell a story than have like the perfect picture.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So have you come up against any challenges? I know you said you opened the studio. What's that been like?
It's been very hit or miss. Like, I don't think we've been able to maintain it. Obviously, we still have it to this day. So, you know, I think was it, for every business, the main objective is survival or something like along those lines. I can't even remember, and I study business. But we've maintained it for a year, which is good. As we come out of the pandemic now, I'm hoping like business picks up. Not only do we have our own shoots and bookings in there, but we also hire out the space to other photographers and people who just need the space for their own projects and whatnot. So hopefully business sort of gets better. I kind of find myself shooting less and less in the studio because I feel like there's no element of risk. So I feel like anything I create in the studio, I can redo. Yeah. And I don't like that. I don't know. I feel like the end goal of wherever I do create has less value because it's easily recreatable. And even I could probably do it even better. So I don't like that fact.
Yeah.
Which annoys me. Yeah. So I find myself shooting less and less in the studio and more, I guess, on location. That's why I think my process has gotten a lot slower, because initially when I first got into photography, that's how I was able to keep the volume high and post consistently and whatnot, because I was shooting in a studio. I owned a space at the time.
Yeah. Is Belfast, would you say, is there a lot of photographers in Belfast? Is there a community?
There's a lot of photographers. I wouldn't necessarily say community, but then again, that could just be how I interact with, you know, similar people in a sense. I don't know. There probably is a community, but maybe I'm just not as involved as I should be. I'm not even in like a negative sense. Like, I don't know how, like, I've only been doing it a year again. So like, I'm aware of a lot of photographers. I follow a lot. I'm friends with quite a lot of people as well, but I don't know if there's a sense of community. Cause for me personally, with a lot of my recent shoots as well, if it's my creative, like my idea, I'd like to be the only photographer on set. So kind of be weird if someone else was shooting something they didn't, you know, concept, like they didn't come up with, in a sense. So I guess whenever I'm working, sure, I'm not surrounded by a lot of photographers. So maybe that's why there isn't, that's maybe why I'm not involved in a community, but I haven't noticed the photography community, I would say. But then again, it's only been a year as well.
Yeah. So do you have anything, do you have anything planned as such, like any projects coming up? I know you've been like teasing a Vine book on your Instagram for a while.
Oh yeah, zine. The zine is coming along quite slowly. I think I need to do 4 or 5 more shoots for it before manufacture it and publish it and whatnot. But it's a case now of like I said, I'm not rushing anything. And based on the topic of the zine, in a sense, it's not too specific, so I shouldn't need to rush it, but ideally I would want it out maybe around summertime latest, even though I wanted it out earlier in the year. So I'd say around summertime latest. I've done a couple shoots for it which kind of touches on themes such as like loss, vulnerability, and even detachment in a sense. So I want to take my time and really execute the remaining shoots, the remaining concepts to a high enough level. I have the ideas, I sort of have the plans. I just need, organization in a sense, like being able to put all the pieces together. And if I need any finances, get that in order as well to fund it in a sense. So it's a slow process. I've been teasing it, which I kind of regret because a lot of the shoots I have done for it so far, I've just kind of been sitting on the final pictures, and it's like, a part of me just wants to post them and like, you know, because I also want to release launch my print store as well. And most of the prints will be from, you know, said zine. So it's a case of, do I do the print store first? And maybe I do like an exclusive release where I release the images as prints and, you know, you could get one early or something like that? Or should I wait to have the book first or the zine first made, then add them to the print store? Because a part of me wants to do the print store first, because then that could then fund more of the creation of the zine. So I'm just kind of conflicted at the moment, because like a part of me is like, I don't want to release the pieces individually. I'd rather do it as a collective first, because that's how I birthed the idea, was as a collective of different shoots and different ideas, as opposed to selling them individually and then later. But I think I'm just kind of overthinking it at this point, to be honest. I don't think there is that great of an importance of whether I drop it individually first or collectively first.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think?
I reckon it's one of those. I'd say a prints would be good, but then if you do prints of the project singularly, and then when you release the zine, then...
Would it be interesting?
Yeah, that's the thing. People already got half or one of the images. So yeah, it's one of those. It's you've probably got to sit on it and think about it.
True.
Yeah. I know you said earlier that you studied business. How did you? How did it go from business to then videography to photography?
Mainly because I found business quite boring, to be honest. I feel like if you want to have a business or be entrepreneurial in a sense, you just have to kind of go for it. You don't really need to study. And I think in terms of education in general, like most of the information is out there. And I don't think you need to study unless it's really specific to the career you want to do. Like if you want to be a doctor, then yeah, you have to do like a million years of law school and stuff. Well, not law school, but like, you know what I mean? Like medicine school, all that type of stuff. So... with me, I think it was around second year in uni. I went to university in Liverpool. So second year in uni, I just kind of got bored. But it was a case of I still wanted to complete my degree. So I think one of my friends, he was a photographer at the time. And he, I don't know if he still is or not. And he used to take photos of us and we would model for him. And then I would now edit those photos on Photoshop. And they'll be posted on like my personal Instagram and whatnot. And then from there... my friend then cracked Premiere Pro, and then I edited videos for one of my friend who wanted to do YouTube at the time. He was playing like Fortnite or one of those games. And eventually the video just kind of graduated from there and from there and from there. And then obviously, which led to photography a year ago.
Yeah, so you're basically doing self-taught.
Self-taught. Self-taught. Nice. Literally learned everything from just trial and error and YouTube, I guess. So I've been doing video for about maybe 3 years and photography for about 1 year now.
And what do you prefer then? What would you say you see yourself swaying to more?
I'd say definitely video. I think video is my passion. Like I'd want to be a cinematographer or even just... because I'm so obsessed with my own ideas, I'd say even maybe a director as well, because... if I have other ideas, I'd like to direct them myself. I couldn't really put, you know, my baby in the hands of someone else. Yeah. Make me feel uneasy. but I'd say, because I want to be a cinematographer and that's all about, like, you know, study of, like, how light interacts with your subject and all that type of stuff, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with where I want my photography to go. Because I want to do more, in terms of photography, I'd say long-term, I want to do more type of fine art sort of work and, you know, like I mentioned, the zine, the prints, that's the direction I want to go in, where I'm not too reliant on client work.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy to do client work in terms of a video basis. But with photography, it's, I don't know, it's a bit mundane. And sometimes it's just like executing other people's ideas, whether they're good or not. To you, sometimes they're not good, or sometimes they're trivial or simple. Or, and I hate to say all these negative things, but that is the case more than often.
Yeah, no, that's your truth. So... yeah, so when you say client work, do clients come to you with an idea mainly, or is it just you go and find the talent and then you portray your idea?
So on my Instagram, I think everything I post is my own idea or like my own organized shoots in a sense. Most of my client work would probably be like in my tagged photos, for examples. But yeah, people will come to me for like headshots or... I don't even know, like, I don't think about it that much. Let me quickly check my tagged photos. But there's, yeah, like, the typical photography stuff, like clothing brands, headshots. Let me just quickly check. Yeah, and just general shoots as well. Like, people have an idea, and I'll just execute it. I'll try and execute it to the best of my ability for them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So like, did you have any influences like when you first started videography and then photography? Like, was there anyone you kind of saw yourself like imitating or like just finding inspiration from them?
I'd say early on with photography, one of my favorite photographers on Instagram, and even to this day, is Jake Wagner. Like, I have his book, and then that was one of the earliest people, and he shot a lot of film at the time. At the time, I didn't shoot film. Yeah. And he'd done a lot of, like, he'd play with, like, the shot speed, so, like, a lot of these images were very motion blurred, and because it was film as well, they were very underexposed, which I wasn't even aware of at the time.
Yeah.
And then, as more recently, there's a lot of people I look to, and this isn't even necessarily for inspiration. I'd say Jake Wagner definitely took inspiration from early on, but currently I'd take inspiration from like movies or just artworks or just chit chat. Like, I'll be talking to a friend and then all of a sudden I'll have an idea and I'll try and make a note of it just so I don't forget. Lately, I'd say, let me just look at my books. I have books by Kumo Sai, who's in New York. He's a New York photographer. I don't even know if that's his name, but that's his Instagram handle, and that's the title of the book as well. His book is called All the Talent is in the Hood, and it's a very, very good book. Who else? There's Megan Doherty. She shoots a lot of film, and she's from Derry, which is also in Northern Ireland.
Oh, nice.
And she's really, really talented. Yeah, her work is amazing.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Because most of my books are like these known names are like, you know, from like the 90s or 80s, and part of me feels like, oh, that's just boring. Yeah. Everyone's heard of those people.
No, God's.
I have a book by Taylor Mitchell as well. It's called I Can Make You Feel Good. That's a good one as well. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, because I think I've got a couple of photo books, but mine are all from like 1 or 2 years ago. I've got like the obvious ones. Yeah. I've got the contact sheet one with the hip hop.
I have that as well.
I've got the gun school one. I've got the boys mag Joe Greer, but you definitely got to send me some recommendations. I need to.
Have you got the Rosie Matheson one, boys?
Yeah, I've got the second one of that. That was dope.
I need that. Can I loan that of you? Because it's sold out. I need to loan that.
The funny thing is that when I ordered it, like two came. Mm-hmm. So I got two.
So you still have two?
I gave one to my sister, but I can see see if she's got it somewhere in her room.
Yeah, no, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Because even, I remember, I think she even launched like a tote bag. There was something she put on her website and I tried to buy it and it sold out straight away. And I was like, okay, this is ridiculous now. Like, I literally tried to buy it straight away and it sold out.
Yeah, no, I consider myself lucky.
It must be nice. She's very talented. Nah, her work is amazing as well.
Yeah. So, like, would you move from Belfast to, like, you know, start a career in, like, videography or photography?
Do you mean would I move to London?
Or London or anywhere in like the world? Like, where would you move to? Like,
I mean, I'm from London. Are you? I used to live in London. Moved here in 2007. That's why my Irish accent isn't that strong. And low key, I kind of a bit. I suppress it a little bit because it's not the most. I personally don't think it's the most flattering accent.
Oh, I love it.
But so I moved when I was like 10 or 11 in like 2007. So I've been here in Belfast for quite some time. Would I move to London? Yes, but I think with everything, it just, you know, about timing. Like, we live in a world where, like, if you want to move to London because you want bigger jobs, it's a case of those bigger jobs would fly you out if they really wanted to. So until I get to a position where I guess I'm recognized for my work in London already, I don't think I have enough reason to move and now force myself into that, you know, competitive scene where I could become more prevalent. Is that the word? Like, more prevalent here, more known, more established here, and then now try to make connections in other cities like London, New York, anywhere really. I really like to travel, so I'm open to anywhere. It's just a term of like, I don't see myself being permanent in one location. So moving, even the word moving is kind of temporary to me. So it's like, you know, it's moving for, you know, a year, moving for 2 years max or something like along those lines. I don't know.
No, definitely. And would you say you have any like weaknesses? Like, what do you find yourself most like critiquing yourself on?
Weaknesses. From time to time, I can be very impatient. It just depends. I think more often I can be impatient with other people, maybe? I don't know. I think I surround myself with very good people, so I'm not even impatient with them, but I feel like, I don't know. I guess I'm also indecisive. Very indecisive, clearly. Weaknesses. I'm Nigerian, so I feel like I'm stubborn by default. Let's see. Weaknesses. Yeah, I think a part of me, a weakness would maybe be, to an extent, I take my art or my work too seriously. Like, especially recently, like, I haven't been able to create at a rate I would like because... And the thing is, I always try to keep myself busy. So it's like, I'm always conflicted with like, oh, I'm too busy to do this thing. But it's like, I don't want to slow down in a sense. I like working with momentum. So, you know, you get the ball rolling and you want to keep up that same speed, whether you want to take a break or whatnot. It doesn't, to me, I don't want to take a break at all. Yeah. Like, you know, my goals are my goals. Why am I slowing down? Why am I stopping? Unless I physically or mentally have to, why would I? You know what I mean? So I think to some extent that is also a weakness because there's going to be a crash eventually. I'm going to like crash initially. Like, if I keep pushing myself to this extent, there's going to be a crash. And I think that's a weakness. Even though I'm foreseeing it now, I know that that's the only way I'll kind of slow down.
Yeah. No, definitely, yeah. Because I find myself like, I get momentum like where I'd like plan a shoot, get the shoot done like mm-hmm. 2-3 in a row, and then I'll go a month. I think that's where I'm going wrong, where I'll just go a month where I like haven't even picked up a camera for a month now, and it's
like so last month even I think I'd done one shoot. But that was because I didn't do one shoot. I done one shoot in the studio.
Yeah.
Because I went to Liverpool and London, so I done like a little bit of traveling. So I was just like, let me just take more of a step back and be casual. So when I was in Liverpool and London, I done a couple shoots with like random people because I feel like photography is a good way to meet, you know, new people and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just done those shoots and then I came back. And since I've been back, it's only been like I've mainly been focused on video work.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of getting right now in terms of photography. I've just been like trying to figure out the whole print store type of thing right now. And yeah, I haven't even organized any shoots. I'm in no rush. I had one booking yesterday and that was just sort of like, it was like a behind the scenes documentary style shoot of another creative that's not too far from me, which was really fun.
Yeah.
But apart from that, yeah, I'm just really, maybe I am, I have taken a break. Have I taken a break?
Sounds like it. What is a break really, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. In a sense, I'm still kind of working, but I'm more focused on like the whole print store and I'm doing client work.
Yeah.
But it sounds like I've taken a break. But I do have like a lot of video work I'm working on currently, so technically I'm still kind of busy.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't say I've taken a break because I've taken a break from picking up the camera, but now I'm here trying to create a podcast. So it's like it never really stops.
I've taken a break from my photography, but I haven't taken a break in general because I'm picking up my film camera, video camera in a sense.
Yeah, because I find myself like, even before I started photography, like I'd always have to have like a hobby. Like I've tried so many different things. Like I've tried DJing. Yeah. I've tried to like record, like produce music, all sorts. And like,
yeah.
So I've always got to find myself like keeping myself busy with something.
No, I get that. I get that. Yeah.
So it's just like, who would you be your dream collab? Like, talent? Would there be a celebrity or someone you'd really envision yourself taking photos of?
Photos. Probably Rihanna. But I think that's because of, you know, it's like a crush thing. But yeah, Rihanna. Yeah. Rihanna. I wouldn't necessarily want to be a celebrity photographer, not in the sense of like, I wouldn't want to be like taking photos of like, if there's like a friend I have or I'm friends with one specific celebrity and let's say they're an artist and I went on tour with them, then yeah, that's fine, that's cool. But like, I wouldn't want to be known as like a celebrity. eventually. But yeah, I don't know. With the whole celebrities thing, for me personally, if I don't know them personally, it wouldn't be, I don't know, it wouldn't be like authentic or interesting enough for me, I don't think.
No, for sure, because yeah, I don't know, like, get these photographers, even though they're like amazing photographers, it's like, it's always a celebrity. It's not like, I think sometimes the celebrity takes away from the image, because you're like, oh wow, like that's Rihanna, yeah. But you're not really taking in the what goes behind the photo itself.
Rihanna, I'd make the exception for.
Mm-hmm, of just course. Rihanna, that's it.
Just Rihanna, just her. I can't really think of anyone else right now that's, you know, well known. Maybe Kelly Rowland as well.
Yeah, like Kelly Rowland's nice as well. So would you say that's your woman crush?
No, both of them. Yeah, definitely. Kelly Rowland, Rihanna, and Halle Berry, I think, are like my only celebrity crushes I've ever had.
Oh. No, I feel you on that one. And what would you tell yourself, like, you know now, which you didn't know, like, when you first started photography? Like, what would you say to yourself?
Probably not much, because I feel like the fun of it is, you know, like everyone says, it's like the whole fun of it is the process and, you know, the journey in a sense. So I think kind of just discovering what I wanted to do in the path I have, I think has been good, and I wouldn't really change anything. Knowing me, I'd probably try to speed up the process somehow because I'm impatient. But apart from that, yeah, not much. Like, just keep going and keep trying to experiment, because like me experimenting was what led me to start shooting film photography. Even like I wanted to learn more about like the history of photography and stuff like that, so that led to that. And now I'm pretty much stuck shooting film and I'm broke because of it, you know. So yeah, I wouldn't change anything. Maybe buy some film or something early on, even before I started shooting film. I'd be like, yeah, buy some film, just, you know, the price is gonna go up, just buy some now, you know.
Yeah, it's quite pricey now. It's only gonna go up, I reckon.
Very close. No, the prices are ridiculous now.
What was your first film camera? What did you first start off with?
My first film camera, I actually have it, it should be here somewhere. First film camera was the Canon EOS 600. That was a 35mm one, which I have now just sold to a friend. But I'm gonna get one back again, because I have a love modern Canon glass, and it, obviously it comes EF, so perfect. It's like, why not get super sharp 35mm photos? So I need to get another one back. So I think I'm gonna get the Canon EOS 5. I think that'll be the next 35mm camera. But right now I'm going to shoot medium format. What's that like? Is that one of the super fast ones?
The same, basically the same thing. Yeah, because I had the Canon AE one first. But, you know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, SLR, manual focus. But then, like, I was just like, I'm lazy. I can't be bothered to focus. It's just painful.
I understand that. Like, now I just kind of shoot medium format until I get another Canon again. I used to borrow my friend's Pentax K1000, but then I got a lot of blank rolls with it, and I was like, okay, this is weird. And then the last roll I shot with it came back normal, so I just gave it back to him. I was like, okay, yeah, I think it still works. And yeah, but apart from that, I've mainly just been shooting on my Pentax 6.7. That's literally been in recently.
What's that like? Because I've tried the RZ, I think, once, and like, I had the RZ. The hype behind it. Like, once I tried it, I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. It's good. I have it with me here. Like, I had the RZ. Okay, so this is what I mean by I'm broke. So, I'd say I got my first medium format camera, let's say November time, which was a Kiev 6C. I still have it somewhere here. That's like, I think that was out in the 60s. It's like really old and has a lot of issues. It was pretty faulty. Then January, thanks to my friend TJ, I bought his Pentax 645N. And then literally come February, I also bought his RZ. Because he bought it, he changes cameras a lot. He bought the RZ and he wanted to sell it straight away so he could buy, I think it was a lens or something at the time. And I bought that off him. So then I had two medium format cameras, which I did not need at the time. March, luckily enough, I didn't buy any cameras, but April came around and then he was selling his Pentax. So, because he wanted to go into like 4x5 photography. So he was selling his Pentax, which was his baby at the time. And this camera is ridiculously expensive. So I traded him the two previous cameras I bought of him plus some cash because it was like a kit of four lenses. So I was like, okay, this is definitely worth it. So, and this is like one of my dream, this is literally my dream camera. So I was like, I didn't really care getting rid of the RZ. So I got this and I was like, okay, now I can stop spending substantial amounts of money every month. Cause like my paycheck for like 3 months was going straight to a new camera, which wasn't wow. ideal.
Yeah, I haven't made the jump like fully. I haven't purchased my first medium format, but I want to try a couple of them before I make. I've tried the RZ, so I've got more to try.
If you like, because I remember you said you preferred the Canon to the Canon AE-1. So if you like that sort of functionality where, you know, you have reliable autofocus, you have an in-body metering system and all that type of stuff, the Pentax 645N is a great camera to have. I think the price of it is probably going up, but it's like functionality wise, it's probably the best camera I've had. It's probably better than this, maybe in terms of functionality, what it can do and how fast it can shoot. And it's 6x4.5, so you can get more shots and whatnot.
Yeah, it's 6.7 format. It's unforgiving, especially when you mess it up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've messed up any, but I probably have, honestly. Like, I think once you start shooting film, like, messing up now and again doesn't become a big deal because you kind of get used to it. But,
yeah. Because, like, when I first got my AE-1 and, like, I put a roll in and I was shooting, I was like, yeah, these pictures are going to come out crazy. And then, like, send it off. It's like, yeah, can't wait to see these. And then, like, got the email, like, oh, it was a blank roll.
You see, that's the thing.
I was I was so upset. It was like, when you get unforgiving.
When you get it right, though, that's the exciting thing as well, because film can be so rewarding because you don't know what to expect. I could have no issues with my camera, and then unbeknownst to me, I get a rollback and there's a fault or there's like light leaks or something, and it's like, when did this happen? There's an element of what if or it might go wrong that, I don't know, adds excitement to the whole experience, I think.
Yeah. So I think I tried a roll of, what was it, Ektachrome, thinking, I've never shot slide before. No, I tried it, but it just came out, just don't know where it was, if it was the lab or what, it just came out just looking funky, and I was just don't know.
I have a roll of it, I have like a pack of it, like I think 5 rolls, I have a pack of it in the fridge, but I haven't tried it yet. The only slide film I've shot is Fuji Provia 100, which turned out really well. I need to shoot more of that. I've shot that twice now. And then I tried some Kodak Elite Chrome, which was expired. And I think that's one of the ones where you have to use like a filter for it or something, because all the negatives came back like super red. The photos were interesting and I didn't mind, but they came out like
Is that the one, the orange filters you got to use?
Yeah, either orange or blue. I think you have to use some filter with it. And then I've also tried Fuji CDU2, which is a motion picture film that there's this local company here, and he like takes motion picture films and then, you know, repurposes them for still photography. So I tried that, and that is also one you need a filter for because it comes back really bluish. But yeah, those are the only slide films I've tried, and they're interesting to say the least. But the Provia, it was nice.
I need to check that out. So what's your go-to usually?
Lately, my go-to, I'd say, especially for like client work, has just been like Portra 400. Like at the start, I kind of avoided Portra 400 because everyone, you know, I feel like everyone uses it, and I always try to avoid what's popular, even though arguably it's like the best, the most reliable, has the best dynamic range, all that type of stuff. But because I'd done a shoot I posted the last post I'd done, the shoot, which was A Bid to Ascend. That was like one of my first conceptual pieces, like fine art pieces, and it's my last post on Instagram. I used Fuji Pro 400 because I didn't have any Portra 400. And like when I got the scans back, I wasn't happy at all. Because I was shooting like sunset, so it was like shooting on the beach, subject against the sky, metering for the light could be difficult. So I knew it was going to be a challenge, but I didn't think the results would be like initially. If I was to show you the raw photos compared to the edited photos which I posted, like it was bad.
Yeah.
So like, I think in future, especially in those kind of lighting scenarios, it'll probably be best to, and more reliable to go with Portra. My favorites, however, I would say would probably be, I think Ektar 100 is up there, especially if you're shooting people with darker complexions, like black people or just people that aren't white, essentially, because obviously Ektar has the thing of like the reds, and it really brings the reds out. So like with lighter skin and like white skin, like the reds, it just looks super unnatural. But like obviously with darker skin, like ourselves, I don't know, I think it complements it in a sense. Yeah,
because I shot
Ektar. Yeah. How'd you find it?
I only shot in landscape because I know like that's what everyone says.
Yeah, I love
it. Landscape, but it was good. But then I found I had to like edit it quite a lot. But I haven't shot it in portraiture yet, so it's definitely something good to try out.
Most of the stuff has been portraiture. I haven't really done any landscape. I've done a little bit of street photography, if I can call it that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ektar's probably up there, my favorite. Fuji Pro for a while was my favorite. Obviously, it's like discontinued. I think I still have like two boxes left. I haven't really. I don't know if I'll rush to use them.
Might be able to sell them on in a couple of years.
But that's the thing, though. Like, yeah, in a couple of years. I remember immediately it got announced. For some reason, I was awake and I seen it on Twitter, and I just ordered like two more boxes. And then after that, for like the next 2 weeks, the price kind of went up, but they're back down to normal. I'm just like, I don't know. People are weird. I say okay. So Ektar. Therefore, the Pro VR and Portra 160 is very good.
Yeah.
That's very good. I don't know why. I feel like it gives you the sharpest image out of all the Portras. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it, but like, yeah, it looks the most like digital in a sense. I don't know. Yeah, there's, you
less
know,
grain.
Minimal grain. Yeah. Very minimal grain. It looks like dynamic range wise, it looks solid. I don't know what the specs are on it, but
no,
Portra 160 is really good.
I was looking at a bit of 160 because I'm going away this weekend to Margate for a little break, but I was trying to decide what film I want, like so I don't know, thinking 100 speed film, but I see
if you're expecting a lot of sunshine, definitely I'd say like the, you know, the 100 speed films, even like 50 for speed. I haven't tried any.
I don't.
50 speed films. The only one I can think of is the CineStill one. I haven't tried that.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures of that one, but I don't know. It seems a bit.
Yeah.
A bit meh.
Yeah, I don't know. There's one recently I tried that I am not a fan of. I tried Lomography Metropolis, but I shot it as like 35mm inside the Pentax, so I shot it as 35mm inside the medium format body.
Yeah.
And like, obviously they were like, oh yeah, desaturated colors and whatnot, but I didn't know to what extent. Like, I got the photos back, I was like, these are not really flattering in terms of on the model. I feel like they would be better for like street stuff or just stuff where you know what you expect. And because it was my first time, I probably shouldn't have just tried it on like, you know, usual stuff, I guess. But then again, it was just like a test shoot anyway, so there was no real risk to people just being like the models being displeased with it, because you know.
Yeah, because I've like the last two times I've shot now, I think I shot Lomography 400, because everyone was just like,
yeah,
it's the same as Portra. It's like, you know, it's the nearest thing, and I got the images; they were good, but it's not Portra. It's just like,
I think it's all circumstantial as well. Like, it just depends, because like, if you're shooting in different environments, you're going to get better results now and again. Because, like, I've seen some people and they, like, put it on a high pedestals, but then other people don't. And it's like, well, you're not shooting it in, like, the same environment or same lighting situation. So, you know, I'm sure it has its strengths in different fields. But personally, I'm kind of off of Lomography film stocks because, I don't know, like, the back end, there's always, like, some light leak issues. And then even just loading it into medium format is annoying because the paper is like, the start marker is like really soon. Yeah. So like, if you can't get into the spool and turn it and it stays, it takes a while. But I've noticed people use the, you know, like the little plastic tab that comes on it, like the peel away part.
Yeah.
I've noticed people use that as well. So they load that into the actual spool. So maybe I should try that before I kind of give up on it. Cause I do like Metropolis Lomo 800. I do like that a lot.
Yeah, because I've tried the Lomo. Is it what? Oh, what's the purple one called again?
Purple.
Yeah, I've used that once, and that was like, that's a nice film. Like, it's just, it's different.
It is.
It's different.
It's very different. I used it for the shoot. I used it for the zine. So I haven't like posted any of that yet.
But crazy.
I feel like that would be one of the best selling prints.
Do you have any advice to any photographers or even like videographers?
I'd say don't be afraid to like experiment or try new things, or I guess people say break rules. Like, don't be afraid to do any of that stuff, because if there's anyone in the industry that you look up to, they're probably known because they were daring to, I don't know, break rules in a sense. So don't be afraid to break rules, and just, you know, keep. I feel like all these answers is going to be like just cliche that you'd heard a million times, but like, just keep shooting. Like everyone says, practice makes perfect. Like, sayings are sayings for a reason, because most of them are true, you know? So practice does make perfect. When you have ideas, I'd say take some time to execute them. Make sure you execute them to the best of your ability, in a sense. Like, even if you have to put money forward, like, you should always be willing to invest in yourself and invest in your craft, or invest in what you're passionate about, in a sense, you know. So those are my main advices. In terms of actually, you know, the art and what you create, that's my advice, I'd say.
Oh, there's one question I forgot to ask you about your videography. Have you shot any like Super 8 or just 8mm film, or do you plan on trying
that? I have. I met a guy recently on a video shoot, and he shoots a lot of film, like 16mm, maybe even 35mm. I'm sure he has 8mm cameras, but I know he shoots 16mm for a fact. So like, he's been wanting me up for coffee, so I definitely have to take him up on that offer, and maybe at some point I'll get my hands on like an 8mm camera or a 16mm camera. But I don't know the cost. I remember he told me, like, even the 16mm one, it was like £260 essentially for 10 minutes of footage.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I got one, a Super 8, just off impulse. And it's just like, I was looking to buy some film for it like this weekend, and like, just like a little cartridge is like £45, and that's for like 3 minutes or 2 minutes.
Well, it's like another 50 or something to develop.
It's crazy. It's very expensive.
But yeah, I definitely would love to try it out. I feel like I wouldn't want to try 8mm. I don't know, because I feel like that is an easy look you could recreate in post. Obviously, it's not authentic, but like, it's common as well. But like, 16mm, you end up questioning, is it actually 16mm, or did they do this in post? And like, I don't know, obviously the grain is finer than 8mm, which 8mm can be like very like in your face, look at me, I'm film. So
yeah,
I feel like with 16mm, it's more forgiving, and the image you want to show will actually be reliable and look. Because if I want to use it for a music video, it still has to be a good image. But 8mm, that's something you see, you know, cut up and put sporadically in music videos. They can't just make a whole music video that's 8mm, because it doesn't look as clean, in a sense, especially for, you know, modern day. So that's all 16mm and 35mm. 35mm, you won't even notice half of the time. It's only, I feel like, really bright lit circumstances you notice it's, you know, film.
No, for sure. And, thank you for coming on. I want to say, where could the listeners find your work?
At the moment, in terms of photography, I just say Instagram. My Instagram is Framed by Tolu. There's a couple of full stops in between the words there. And then with video work, it's just Tolu Films _, I believe. And then the link to my website will be in the bios. Apart from that, that's pretty much where you can find me. I'd say you can find me on Twitter, but that's where people go to cancel people. Nah, so I'll keep my Twitter to myself.
For sure. No, thank you. Thank you.
No, it was a pleasure, man. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to check out more of Tolu's work, his information is in the description. If you enjoyed the episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch up with all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.